All right, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Gonzo and the Judge Sports Talk, Friday, August 19th, 2022. Got quite a bit to talk about here tonight going on in sports. A lot of baseball going on. A lot of stuff heating up in the NFL with the NFL regular season just about 25 days away. So it's going to be interesting to see what all transpires here in the next couple of weeks getting into the regular season. I'm hoping the Colts can get through the rest of this preseason without anybody else getting hurt, as after we just lost one of our top tight end prospects for the season with a knee injury during the preseason. So I just hope we can stay whole. But joined tonight by the judge, as always. How's it going, Judge?
What's going on, man? How you feeling tonight? It's Friday.
I've been feeling good. Been watching baseball. Watched Little League Baseball. Now I'm watching the Dodgers and the Marlins.
Hey, you know, I was watching that downstairs, too. I was watching the Dodgers and Marlins game. Last time I saw it was scoreless.
It's still scoreless.
And, you know, there was traffic on the bases, and Freddie Freeman grounded out to first, and that ended the inning, and that's the last I saw of the game. You know, but, hey, at least we're doing better than the Yankees. I mean, I don't mean to rub that in the faces of Yankee fans, but I mean, you know, the Dodgers are doing a lot better than the New York Yankees.
Yeah, the Yankees are been struggling since the All-Star break.
Yes, and the Yankees offense was lifeless again tonight. You know, that's the game that I checked out earlier. They were playing the Toronto Blue Jays tonight, and the Yankees couldn't, you know, generate enough offense, couldn't, you know, really get the bat swinging. And, you know, I mean, you could say whatever you want about the bullpen not doing its part or not playing a huge role, you know, in this team's success. But how can the bullpen do its job if they have no run support or if they're not getting guys to produce when they come to the plate? I mean, you know, you can't really protect the lead if you don't have a lead, you know? So, I mean, you could say the bullpen is not doing what it needs to do because the bullpen hasn't been innocent either. The bullpen is just as guilty as the offense, you know? And we saw that once again. I think once they get Clay Holmes back, that's another arm that they can use in their bullpen. He can probably come in and put up some zeros, you know, because that's been a problem. I mean, you know, Aroldis Chapman, he's not the same. You know, he lost his role as the closer on the team. And you saw tonight again, he was laboring out there. He was struggling in a high leverage situation, couldn't get the outs. You know, Boone had to come in. He pulled him from the game, said, "Hey, son, hand me over the ball. Your night is over. You're done. You're coming out of the game." You know, but again, there's a cause for concern for this Yankees team. The Yankees were blanked by the Blue Jays in a 4-0 loss at Yankee Stadium. And you even heard it from the fans. The fans were very disappointed. You even heard boos as Chapman, you know, was walking off the field. He was greeted by boos, you know. So, I mean, it was another unpleasant night for the Yankees. And now the Yankees are 73-47 on the season for the 14th time in their last 18 games and have fallen to 12-24 since July 8th. I mean, this team has really, really played terrible baseball in the last month or so. They haven't been able to pile up any victories. They've dealt with a lot of injuries, and I think they are really, really missing guys like Matt Carpenter, and Giancarlo Stanton. Those two guys are greatly missed in that lineup of theirs. I feel like once they get those two guys back, they'll be a better team. But their record, what their record indicates, I mean, it just doesn't look like a team that is dominating in their division right now. I mean, you know, it feels like the Yankees are not 73-47. It feels like the Yankees are 47-73, or however you want to look at it. It feels like this team has more losses than wins, you know. But it's just not a good look right now. You know, fans are feeling dejected. You know, the game has, you know, not been in their favor lately at all. And not even Aaron Judge is performing well. He entered the night 8-for-20 in his career against Kevin Gausman, you know. And I mean, the AL MVP favorite, the top candidate to win the award, went 0-for-2 with a walk and is now 2-for-23. Get this. The guy that, you know, has a ridiculous stat line and who has been sensational all season and has, you know, put up some monster numbers, is 2-for-23 over his last 7 games. You know, it's hard to believe. Now you got this new kid who's coming on as Rodo Cabrera, and he gave the Yankees their best moment of the night. And I saw it, and I even saw it on replay on the first pitch. You know, he robbed Gurriel, who drilled the fastball to right field. It was a home run, but Cabrera went back to the wall and, you know, used his 5'10" frame to pull it back in with what was a leaping grab. It was just sensational. You know, but this Yankees team, man, they need to find life. They need a few days off if they could. They're not going to get that because the schedule won't give that to them. They have to continue to play baseball. But they could use a few days off to regroup and to, you know, find a way to catch fire again and hopefully deliver, you know, some of their best – you know, offense. I really don't know what else to say. They're not the Bronx Bombers right now. They're not, you know, putting the ball in play. They're not getting on base. When they are on base, and when there is traffic on base, they can't, you know, drive in the runs. It's just misery right now for this team.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is a lot of people are overreacting some too, because you have to think about it. They really didn't have no slump in the first half of the season, and so now they're having their slump. They're lucky that the good thing for them is they have that 9-game lead, so they have a little bit of leeway they can play with.
Right.
You don't want to let it get too close, though. So they got to get their bats going. But the big thing to me is I think they're pressing. They haven't been hitting the ball, so now they're up there trying too hard. And when you get a bunch of guys up there trying too hard, that just compounds the problem. You need to be relaxed, go up there, clear mind, ready to see the ball and hit the ball, not thinking, oh man, I'm 2 for my last 30. I need to hit real bad. You know what I mean? You need to be up there with confidence, and they got to get that momentum back. I don't know if they're going to make it to the World Series, because I think some of these injuries might catch up to them if we'll see how healthy they can stay. But I think they'll get back going and still win this division. I know Dustin says hot take of the night, Yankees will lose the division in game 163 to the Rays.
They could.
And then play the Blue Jays in the wild card. I mean, they could, but I don't know. If they do – If they lose this division, Boone's gone. If they lose this division, I think Boone's gone.
If they were
to have that big of a collapse. But
yeah,
I think they'll hold on to the division. We'll just see if they have any momentum going into the playoffs. That's going to be the big thing. If they can get this turned back around and get some momentum going into the postseason or not. So
I mean, when you lose two of your top run producers, that could be very deflating for any team, you know. And like I said, they're really missing Matt Carpenter and, of course, you know, Giancarlo Stanton. Those two guys were, you know, they played a pivotal role when they were healthy and part of that lineup. And, you know, it's the next batter up now. The next batter up has to step up.
Well, yeah, and the good thing is that Stanton's pretty close to coming back.
They're going to need him. He could probably be that lifesaver.
He's pretty close to coming back. I heard he wants to try to play tomorrow, but I don't know if he's going to come back that quick. But I know he's pretty close to being back. I'm not sure about Carpenter, but yeah, they get Stanton back, that'll help some. And just maybe getting a couple of them guys back in the lineup, or at least just one of them back in the lineup, might get just spark. All you need is that spark sometimes to get things going again.
And
the Yankees are going. The Yankees definitely have to start playing better ball.
Right.
But if they don't, I think Boone's gone. And I hate to say that because I like the Boone family, but if they don't make a press conference around the playoffs, I think he's in trouble.
Right. And here's the thing too. More importantly, that bullpen is gonna have to step up as well. And they're gonna have to get the outs, pitch some scoreless innings, keep the runners, you know, off balance. Keep the hitters off balance. Keep runners off base. I think Jonathan Luane, how you say his name? His last name? Out of their bullpen, I think he's their best high leverage guy. I mean, when he's on, he can really throw some heaters. He has electric stuff, and he can be a strikeout guy. He's definitely a high leverage guy. I think. The bullpen is going to be critical for the Yankees.
It wouldn't surprise me if they did hire Boone. Boone has done some good things there with the Yankees.
He's not that bad of a manager.
Get him over the hump. And I can't blame it all on him because some of it's been injuries too. But if you have a collapse this year, and especially if you collapse so bad you don't win the division – I don't see how he returns as the Yankees manager next year.
Right.
I don't think that they're going to put up with that. They're just too impatient. You know what I mean? It's World Series or bust every year. At least that's the way the Yankees think. No matter how good their team is, that's what they think. And if you have that golf, that hot start looked like you were the best team in baseball, and if you collapse so much that you don't win your division, I think somebody has to go.
And it's crazy to see that Chapman is not this lights out closer anymore. I mean, I noticed that he's depending on the breaking ball more than he used to, but you know, he even got caught in a pickle tonight. Was in a situation where he walked back-to-back hitters on 9 pitches for the second time in 3 games. I mean, and this is why he is no longer the closer for the Yankees, because you can't count on a guy in the 9th inning to get the outs. You know, he just doesn't have that nasty stuff anymore that used to intimidate hitters and used to keep them off balance. You know, you just don't see – that same Chapman anymore. The Yankees are going to have to get some great bullpen help. They're going to have to get some bullpen help. They're going to get guys that really step it up in that bullpen. To me, that's an area of concern. Their bullpen and their hitters. Not so much the starters in their starting rotation. It is the bullpen, especially the back end of that bullpen. They definitely can use some arms.
Yeah, but we'll see what happens.
The offense has to turn it on. The offense has been the problem.
Well, I mean, that's what happens sometimes when you rely on the home run so much. And right. You got to have so many teams that do that now. And it's like,
oh, yeah.
Okay, it's all great when you're getting them home runs, but when you're not, when you start struggling to hit home runs, then you're in trouble.
Yep.
And you get a lot if you get somebody on base. You see a lot of runners get stranded anymore because you don't see a lot of them go for sacrifice bunts or just to try to get the runners in scoring position. It's all you got runners on. We need to hit a home run, and it's a different game. I mean, I'd like to see it go back more to the small ball being more involved.
I don't think we're going to get too much of that anymore.
Not with these analytics, I don't think. But I don't know. I think you're going to see some teams that are going to try to still go that route. Mm-hmm. Because if you can play good defense, have good pitching, and you can put up 3-4 runs, you can win a lot of games that way.
Right. Oh, absolutely. You can. You can win a lot of games playing small ball. But again, everyone wants to be the hero and everyone wants to rely on the home run ball. You know, everyone is swinging for the fences. And sometimes that's why a lot of these guys are swinging and missing, because they're overly aggressive when they come to the plate. You know, they're chasing things down and away. You know, their timing is off. They're a little bit late on their swing. And, you know, and the problem with a lot of these pitchers now is that they can't command their pitches. And sometimes the pitches get away from them, or the hitters are able to connect, and it turns out to be a disaster for the pitcher that's on the mound. You know, and that's what we're seeing with the Yankees.
Yeah, Dustin said, are you for or against eliminating the shift, which is most likely coming next year? I really didn't care if they eliminated it. Only thing I thought with the shift is that I didn't like where you could put everybody out in the outfield. I thought infielders should have to stay in the dirt, outfielders in outfield. But if you want, I don't care where you play them at necessarily. But the shift didn't bother me that much. I was worried about them getting rid of it.
The shift is basically when you have four outfielders. I don't have a problem with it. You know, if they eliminate it, fine. If they keep it, fine. You know, any fan would be pleased if the shift worked for their team. There would be no complaints. So it's one of those things where it either benefits your team or it doesn't.
Yeah, I didn't see what the big deal about it was to have to take it away. Like I said, I do think if you want to play two guys on the left side of second base, that's fine. Just both up, I just like for both of them to have to be in the infield, not one out in the outfield. But other than that, but if they didn't change it, it didn't bother me either. You know what I mean? It wasn't that big a deal,
right,
to me. But I think you're right, Dustin. A lot of it is the launch angle, because even at the young kid age, they're all worried about that launch angle and trying to hit the ball out. And to me, that can develop bad habits, because you get these kids starting to do uppercut swings, and it's hard to get them out of it.
Right.
I mean, it is. It's real hard to get them out of when you get into stuff like you get into the. Especially when you're a kid, you get a kid doing a bad habit, and sometimes you can get away with them bad habits. But as you get older, you can't get away with them bad habits anymore.
That's true. You could get away with it for so long, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're not getting away with that anymore. You know, and that's how life is.
Braves are 10-1 their last 11 games.
They're hot.
They look
right
like
now.
They're catching fire again, like they did last year after the All-Star break.
The White Sox are playing really well, and you know, another team that has come out of nowhere is the Baltimore Orioles. After trading Trey Mancini,
Well, they were playing good before
they were playing good before that too, but they've really turned it on since the All-Star break.
Yeah, they were playing good. That's why I was surprised that they were trading people at the All-Star breaks to try to add to their team. And then
they do have one of the top farm systems in baseball with a lot of promising players and future assets. And I think they've arrived a little bit early. You know, they're ahead of schedule.
Minnesota beat the Rangers. Minnesota's not been playing bad either.
No, they haven't. They haven't. They've been playing really well. I think that game was actually broadcast on Apple TV tonight as well. The Blue Jays and the Yankees, yeah. The Blue Jays game and the Yankees game was on Apple TV tonight.
Okay. Yeah, like I said, I was watching Little League baseball. I watched a little bit of SmackDown. And...
Okay. Yeah, I was watching the Yankees and the Blue Jays game. And the Yankees, man, it was just another frustrating night. You know, there's a lot of things that need to be answered for that Yankees team.
Yeah, but going back to the Braves for a minute, man, the Braves, they're turning it on. And, man, they got a young core, and then they reached a deal with Harris and got him under contract now. I mean, the Braves are setting themselves up where they could put themselves in a situation where they could be good for the next four, five, six years, have a top team. Because they got a young team.
You have an incredible third baseman in Austin Riley who finally got paid. You know, got a big contract. He's locked up with the team for the next 10 years, I believe. You know, that was a good signing for the Braves, a good extension, well deserved. For a guy who's been, you know, a key component to that team's success in recent years. You know, you don't miss Freddie Freeman that much because his replacement at first base has numbers that's identical to Freddie Freeman, you know, and Matt Olson was never a bad first baseman. He was a slugger. Yes, he did have a year where he had a down year, but he, you know, bounced back from that. And he responded quite well, and the Braves saw an opportunity to get him. They did, because they knew that they were most likely losing out on Freddie Freeman, that he wouldn't be back in a Braves uniform. And look what Matt Olson has done. Matt Olson is back home. He's enjoying that home cooking. He's been great for them. Then you mentioned Harris. Harris is another player that's coming on. For them, you have a Ronald Acuna Jr., who's one of the most exciting players in baseball. I mean, how can you not love the guy? The guy is incredible. He's a fun-loving guy. You know, he boosts the energy in that dugout, you know, and he's an electrifying player, a joy to watch and to have around. And I think his teammates gravitate to him as well. So, yeah, the Braves really definitely got something going on there. Then you have Brian Snicker, who's a damn good manager. You know, I think we saw much of that a year ago, how great of a manager he is. And, you know, yeah, the Braves are really hot right now, and they're going to continue on this stretch. They're going to continue to amaze people, and, you know, they're looking to defend their title this year.
Well, people better not sleep on the Cardinals, though. The Cardinals are playing good baseball. And the addition of Montgomery has really helped their starting rotation. And
yes,
you can't sleep on the Cardinals because you get, like you said, you get in the playoffs, anything can happen.
Right.
And they got a good
right.
pitching staff, and they get their bats going. They could be a tough out.
Well, the Cardinals have always been a tough out in October, right? They've always been one of those teams that can make a deep run in October. And, you know, Nolan Arenado to me is the best third baseman I've ever seen. Okay, hands down. He is the best third baseman I've ever seen. When you watch some of his highlights and some of those incredible plays that he make at third base, no one in the league can top that. You know, it's amazing to watch. Then you have Paul Goldschmidt, who's having the MVP type season, who probably should win the NL MVP award. You know, he's been a beast this year for the Cardinals. You have, you know, Edmund. That guy can steal bases. He's aggressive on the bases.
I've heard people mention Arenado's name for MVP.
I've heard that too. But I'm leaning more towards Paul Goldschmidt, the numbers that he has put up. You know, he's been a critical piece to that team. And, you know, he's been great offensively all year long. And he's been able to sustain that level of success for a long period of time. So I'm kind of leaning, you know, towards him to win the award. But yeah, you're right. The Cardinals are getting great defense as well. And I mentioned that when I talked about Nolan Arenado. You know, they're a very good defensive team. They make plays. They make things happen with their gloves. You know, those guys are really, really on fire right now.
Let's see. Dustin says, thoughts on Little League World Series. My prediction right now is Canada, international champs, Hawaii, the U.S. champs, Hawaii winning it all. I really like that Hawaii team. They're impressive the way they hit the ball, and they got good pitching. I do like Canada. I thought they looked real good. I also think that Mexico team looked real good as well.
Yeah, I heard Mexico's pretty good well, because I was watching a game the other day. It was Texas versus Pennsylvania. And, man, them Texas kids, man, they didn't let up. They didn't take their foot off the gas pedal. They kept fighting to the very end. And them kids, man, they had a lot of guts. They played tough. They played ball. And, you know, I mean, those guys were good. They even had a pair of web gems in that game. It was great to see those kids play. It was a lot of fun. It was very exciting.
Oh, hey, no, the Little League games are fun to watch. And them kids can play some ball.
Yep.
That Texas team is good. I just don't know if they're going to have enough to stay with Hawaii. It's going to be interesting.
What's up, Eddie? Thanks for watching. We really appreciate it.
Look at this. Hawaii's outscored their opponents 23-1 in 10 innings so far.
They're really good.
Yeah, they pound the ball.
They pound the ball really hard, huh? They like to slap the ball to all parts of the field, I see.
Yeah, it'll be a good I think they're going to have a real good chance of probably winning it. But that Texas team is good. There's a lot of good teams there. I'm hoping that Indiana can get by Tennessee on Monday. But Tennessee was pounding the ball today. It's always fun to watch and get a whole nother week of it. So, hey, I'm not going to complain.
I was actually rooting for Indiana too because I thought about you, Chris, and they won the first game, so I was rooting for them.
They about blew it, but they won it. They won that first game, but they about gave it away, making some throwing errors and stuff. But man, I was able to get a walk off to get it. Let's talk a little bit of NFL. What do you think about Brady being away from the Bucks and? Now they're saying that there's not a timetable set when he's going to be back. Do you think this is going to affect their offense at all? I think it could affect a little bit at the beginning of the season just because of timing with some of your younger receivers. But other than that, I mean, it's Tom Brady, so I don't think it's going to be a big, big issue.
I don't think it's going to be a big, big issue either. Look, he's Tom freaking Brady, right? I mean, you know, we all know that the guy has won multiple Super Bowls. He has, you know, made the Bucks who they are today. He has made that team relevant again. You know, when he signed there, what happened? He guided that team to a Super Bowl. You know, he pretty much led that team to a Super Bowl. That's how good he is. He is the GOAT of all quarterbacks. And it's impressive that he has gotten better with age, because we all know his workout regimen. We all know how he conditions his body and how he is always game ready and he prepares for the upcoming season. So I don't think this is going to affect the Bucs that much. But to your point, you know, I think it will affect some of the younger receivers because he's not there to kind of develop that chemistry with that young core. But that will come in time, you know, whenever he does decide to show up, if he does decide to show up. I think they would, you know, get things down quickly and they'll be fine moving forward. I don't think this is too much of a problem. I think at the end of the day, the Bucs will be just fine.
Yeah. I think from what I'm hearing, because they've kept it pretty quiet about why he hasn't been around, but I think his mom is ill again. And then it's from what I'm hearing, and that's why he's not been around. So I think that's why there's not a timetable when he's going to be back. So if it is his mom, I mean, hopefully she gets better. But I know she had some health issues. So, but that's what I've heard is that his mom isn't doing very good.
And you know, he's a very family oriented person, so his family's always going to come first. And so, if she is ailing again, my thoughts and prayers are with the Brady family at this time.
And then finally found out how long Deshaun Watson was getting suspended for. Got suspended for 11 games, fined $5 million. What do you think the Browns are going to do from here? You think they're going to just stick with Brissett? For until he gets back, do you think they might try to trade for somebody, maybe like a Jimmy G, Tyler Huntley might be available, so somebody like that, or do you think they're just going to say we're going to stick with Brissett and see what happens?
Uncertainty has surrounded the Cleveland Browns quarterback position. Now that we know that the NFL and the NFLPA have reached a settlement on an 11-game suspension and a $5 million fine for Deshaun Watson. Now we know that that there's no quarterback really that is as good as Deshaun Watson to fill that void. So now they're going to have to lean on the shoulders of Jacoby Brissett. You know, and if they do decide to trade for a quarterback, I'm guessing it would be Jimmy G. Now, acquiring Jimmy G via trade would likely be tricky, right? The 30-year-old is currently owed $24.2 million salary for the 2022 season. It's also worth pointing out that Jimmy G's salary becomes guaranteed if the 49ers keep him past the August 30 roster cutdown. So that makes it likely that he will be released if he is not traded by then. Do you sign him if he does get released? This Browns team, I'm not too sure. If they would snatch Jimmy G off the market. And I say this because they seem to be very confident in Deshaun Watson. I don't know if you heard the press conferences from the owners and the general manager, and they are really sold on Deshaun Watson. They have been defending him. They have had his back through this entire process. You know, they seem to be committed to him in the long term in their future plans. So it wouldn't make sense to get Jimmy G for a short time, knowing that Deshaun Watson is only suspended 11 games, if this is the guy you plan on making your quarterback in the future.
Yeah, I don't. If I'm them, if you're going to stick with Brissett, to me, you might as well not even play Deshaun Watson at all this season.
Well, yeah, if they perform really well with Brissett, why?
No, not that. I'm saying that because they're bad. If you're 2-9, after his 11 game suspension, what's the point of playing him?
That's true. You might as well wait till the following season and give him a fresh start.
Why take a chance of him getting hurt?
Preseason, right?
Why take a chance of him getting hurt?
Right, but they seem to be content with Deshaun Watson, so I don't think they would make a trade for another quarterback. I think this will just be one of those years where it's kind of a down year. I mean, hey, if you win with Jacoby Brissett as your quarterback, great. If you don't, oh well, we'll try it again next year. We'll try next season with Deshaun Watson. He'll have a full season at the quarterback position.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. It's gonna be interesting. I don't think the Browns thought that he was gonna get 11 games, so I think this kind of threw a little bit of a wrench in there more. But when they got that appeal, they knew he was getting more than six, so they had to be kind of preparing for it. I still don't understand what the point of starting him in that preseason game was, unless they're just trying to show people that they're behind them, I guess, maybe. But other than that, I don't know why they would even put him out there. Why they put him out there didn't make a whole lot of sense.
Well, it's obvious that they're behind him. I mean, they defended him the whole time during this process. You know, and I mean, they said that he's deserving of a second chance. They seem to believe, according to the owners, that he has grown from this, that he has matured, that he is a changed man, that he is a better man. You can use whatever word you want to use to define the whole situation, but I'll just leave it at that.
Ooh, at the wall, warning track power.
What game is that?
Dodgers. It's still 0-0, six inning.
Who hit the ball to the warning track?
It was for the Dodgers. I'm not even sure who was up to bat. I just happened to look up and saw the ball got hit. I wasn't paying enough attention. I couldn't tell you the name. I can tell you who's up to bat. You probably know their batting order. Turner's up to bat. So who's their leadoff batter? It was their leadoff batter.
Mookie Betts.
It was Betts, dude. It was Betts.
Okay, so it's Trey Turner now.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, Betts hit one to the left field right in the warning track. Yeah, now Trey Turner's up. Bottom of the sixth, still no score, 0-0. Did you hear Steve Young's comments about about how he feels that the Ravens are holding Lamar Jackson back by the kind of offense they have that they're building around him instead of letting him play a more sophisticated passing offense and trusting him to do it, that he thinks they're holding him back? And I mean, he said that if he went to another team that would let him do it, that he thinks Lamar would even better. I don't know what brought this all up.
Yeah,
all
but how can you be a more
broadcast?
Yeah, but how can you be a more sophisticated passer if that's one of your weaknesses, passing the football? I mean, that's clearly a glaring weakness for Lamar Jackson. And I mean, that's been a knock on Lamar Jackson, right? His inability to make plays because he struggles passing the ball. And he's not the most efficient passer. And he's not an elite passer. He's more of a dual threat quarterback because of his mobility and what he can do with his feet. You know, he's an incredible runner. You know, he still has to work on his throwing mechanics, though. So I don't know. I feel like if you put him in any system, you know, he won't flourish. He won't thrive. And that's not me, you know, putting him down or saying that he's a bad quarterback. I think he's gifted. I think he's athletically gifted. I think he has the potential to be a great, you know, QB in this league. I think there's just a few things he needs to tweak and work on to develop into becoming a better quarterback, a more efficient quarterback, you know, a more reliable quarterback, someone that your team can trust to make those throws down the field. Because there will come times in games where you have to make those crucial throws and your team is going to be counting on you to make some plays down the field. And that's something that Lamar Jackson has shown that he can't do.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you on that point, but like, I kind of understand what Young is trying to say, but also I understand what the Ravens are trying to do as well. But I think what Young is saying to a point is that the routes that they have the receivers run aren't the top routes where they can get open. They try to simplify it because of Lamar Jackson, where he don't think they need to do that for him. Let them receivers run, do some more sophisticated schemes. And he thinks Lamar could have more success, which I understand at that point, but yeah, Lamar has to get more accurate and more consistent throwing the ball. I mean, that's just something he's going to have to do especially as his career goes, because the older he gets and the more hits that he takes, he's not going to have that athleticism forever. Right. And once he loses a little bit of that speed, is he going to be the same runner? And loses just a little bit of that athleticism. So that's where eventually they got to try to develop him more as a passer. And if that means him maybe having a little bit more of a rough year or for a season to change the offense a little bit and force him to have to make some of them throws. And yeah, you might get a few turnovers, but that's the only way you're ever going to find out if he can do it or not is to open it up and give him that chance. Because if you don't give him the chance, you're never going to know. And if you wait too long, then you're not going to have time to figure out if he can or not. And now you're getting ready to have to pay the dude a bunch of money to keep him. And if he has a great year this year, if you don't get something decided by the trade deadline, or not trade deadline, damn it, by the beginning of the season, he said that he's not negotiating again until after the season. So that means they're basically will franchise tag him. And then if he gets franchise tagged and he has a great year this year, then Baltimore just cost herself more money.
Right. So that's why he's just chilling and he's not, you know, making a big deal about holding out or, you know.
Well, the only thing is, taking the chance. You're betting on yourself that you're not going to get a big injury or something like that.
Right. And he's been patient through the whole entire process, which is amazing to me because like you said, a lot of these athletes nowadays, they like to secure their bag, you know, because you never know when an injury might happen or when you might take that hit and you could lose out on a lot of money. So, I mean, you know what? He's just chilling because he knows at some point, that payday is coming, and he knows that he could be the next highest-paid quarterback. I think more than anything, he's focused on, you know, this upcoming season, you know, the Baltimore Ravens. And also, this is a chance for him to improve in every statistical category and try to lead his team to, you know, wins each Sunday. I think that's the bigger priority. Being more accurate, You know, work on your accuracy and your ball skills, and make sure you make those timely decisions, and you don't turn over the football, and you don't just rely on your feet, but your arm as well to, again, make those throws and find your open receivers and you know, put the ball in the hands of those guys and let them do their work down the field.
Did you watch any of the preseason games tonight?
I didn't, because, you know, I'm not a big fan of preseason sports. I really don't tune in. I started paying attention when the games actually count.
Oh, yeah. I don't watch much preseason either.
Preseason to me is just a waste of time. I could be watching a baseball game or a women's NBA game or something that has meaning to it, you know, a meaningful game.
Speaking of WNBA, the Sky got upset the other night, and they're the defending champions. Liberty upset them, and they play again tomorrow afternoon.
Wow.
But it's weird the way the WNBA is doing these first series. It don't make a whole lot of sense.
I noticed Washington playing Seattle.
Well, not that. What I mean, because they see you went by your seed, but what? Don't make a whole lot of sense to me.
It works a little different from the NBA.
Yeah. What don't make a whole lot of sense, though, is your the number one seed and number two seed. The team they had to play. They play. They're having them playing this round, and it's a 3-game series. But which the problem? What's messed up about it is the first two games was at the higher was at the better team, the better seed, and then. Mm-hmm. If there's a game three, the better seed's on the road.
Yeah, that's bizarre.
So, like, with the Liberty upset and winning that game one, now they've guaranteed that there's going to be a game – they're going to have a game at home to try to win that series.
Hmm. Yeah, that's weird. That's confusing, too.
It's backwards. I mean – right. You should be rewarding the team that is the better seed, not punishing them.
Right. It's like you're demanding for them to go to the corner and face the wall.
Well, you're putting a lot of pressure on them to have to win that first game of that 3-game series, because if they lose that game, now they know they're going to have a closeout game on the road.
Yeah, which makes it more challenging for that team.
Yeah, and if you're the better team,
maybe that's what they want. They want to try something different.
My thing is to entice
the fans, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, but my thing is, if you're the better team, you earn the number two seed or the number one seed, you shouldn't have to travel on the road for an elimination game. That makes no sense. That you earn that. That's why you earn the seed is to have a home game in this. It's weird to make it like that. You're putting so much pressure on that one game because, like you said, hell, now the Liberty are basically – they can come into this game too now, and they really have nothing to lose, because if they do lose the game, they get to go home and try again.
Mm-hmm. They get a chance to redeem themselves.
Yeah,
tried to avenge the loss.
Yeah, there was both the WNBA games, playoff games last night was pretty good. I didn't watch any of them tonight. Like I said, I was watching baseball.
I watched the one last night until my fiance got bored, and then we turned on a Disney movie on Disney Plus.
Yeah, I watched it. I watched some of it last night. I didn't watch none tonight, and then. I was watching Little League, and I started watching WWE SmackDown, a little bit of it. A little bit of that, a little bit of – but actually waiting to see if what happens in this Dodgers game. But I don't know if I'm going to make it all the way to the end of the game or not.
What's the score? It's still scoreless?
Yep. Top of seven, still scoreless. Marlins have a runner on second, no outs.
Tyler Anderson, man, he's been flawless too. He's been pitching a lot of scoreless innings.
Yep, yes, he has.
And you know who else been pitching a lot of scoreless innings? Kevin Gausman, Blue Jays starter.
He's,
especially on the road, he's been pitching some scoreless innings.
And the Blue Jays are finally starting to play better, too.
Yeah, they're peaking at the right time. It would be nice if they sweep the Yankees. That would be huge because that would give them a chance to cut into that lead.
And then the Mets got a nice win tonight. But the Braves won as well, so it kind of kept everything the same in that extent. OJ was probably mad Astros got beat.
Oh, yeah, the Astros did go down tonight, huh?
Yeah, to the Braves. Eddie said, on my way to Wisconsin, fellas, can't comment much, but love the topics. Hey, we appreciate you being on and listening.
Thank you.
You have anything else you want to talk about that I missed?
Man, I think we covered it all in this show.
Getting ready for the weekend tomorrow. If you're a UFC fan, come join us tomorrow night. We'll be doing a live reaction and watch along show on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch at Gonzo Sports Room. I think Pride's going to jump on. I know for sure my dad's going to be on with me. I think Pride might jump on for a little while. But UFC 278, Usman versus Edwards, should be a good card. We'll be live at 8 p.m. Eastern tomorrow night for that. Got a big interview on Monday as pro wrestling fan Marcus Fine will be joining me Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern. Got another pro wrestler, John Scrutch. He'll be joining me Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern. So got a couple wrestling interviews coming up this week. There's a lot going on. But, yeah, join us tomorrow for the UFC. Should be a fun one. And if you missed our UFC preview and prediction show today, Pride joined me on my sports betting show, Easy Money, and we done a UFC preview and prediction show. Go check it out. You can find it on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch at Gonzo Sports Room or at the All Sports All Plays Networks on their YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch as well. But we broke down the full card, gave picks out for every fight. So go check it out. I think you'll enjoy it. Around the Bases, my new baseball show. We had a good episode this morning. Jay McLovin joined me, and then Frankie Cruz made a surprise appearance. I wasn't planned. He messaged me and said, "Hey, send me the link. I'd like to get on." So he got on, and it was nice. We had a good all three of us a good conversation. So check that out. Remember, you can find Gonzo the Judge in podcast form as well: Apple Podcast, Anchor Podcast, Spotify, Google Podcast, most places you listen to podcasts. You can find it at Gonzo and the Judge Sports Talk. And then you can also find it on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch at Gonzo Sports Room, YouTube at the Sports Judge, and YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch at the All Sports All Plays Network. Did I miss anything?
Nope. You didn't?
I was going to say, I thought I covered it all, but sometimes I get to saying it and I'll get down on my mind. I forgot to say this.
No, you knocked it out of the park. You didn't swing and miss.
Monday, join. Also, we'll have another episode of our new Colts podcast, Horseshoe Talk. We had an episode tonight. If you missed it, you can go check it out on YouTube and Facebook. But we're live every Monday and Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern with that. So come join us for that. Every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 11 for Gonzo and the Sports Judge. And then Around the Bases, the baseball show's live Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. Easy Money, sports betting show's live at 3 p.m. Eastern Monday through Friday. So there's basically always something on the Gonzo Sports Room or either on the All Sports or All Plays Network. There's usually a show going on most of the time. There's not, at least till about midnight or later anyway.
There's always something to keep sports fans occupied.
Oh yeah.
Always something for you guys to watch and be a part of. Most definitely.
Well, if, Jonathan, if you don't have nothing else, we'll go ahead and we'll get out of here. And we will see you guys Monday night at 11 p.m. Eastern for another episode of Gonzo and the Judge. Like I said, remember, you can also find it on podcast form. I'll get this episode on there probably tomorrow. Probably work on that tomorrow morning when I get up. But other than that, be safe. Have a great weekend. If you're going to drink, don't drive. No reason to risk it.
Right. Don't be stupid. Don't be stupid. Be smart. Be wise. Don't be a dumb idiot and drink and drive.
Yeah, but be safe, and we will see you guys Monday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, for another episode of Gonzo and the Judge Sports Talk. Have a great night.
All sports are plays. Yeah. All sports are plays. All sports are plays. 365, we're making a place. We're talking the game, get you through the days. We're high in the court, the diamond in the lane. Variety topics, living the same. All presentation, sports information. In the airways, taking the nation. All sport, all plays, they work in your faces. Grace at the field, so tie the laces. All sports, all plays.